This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Time for best and worst of the weekend. We crack it up on the top side, if you will. And we start this morning with Miami. Yep, the Canes are in the best of the weekend. Why is that? Well, 3-0 in the ACC for the first time in 9 years. Won the regular season in tournament the last time they did it, Pac.
I remember that team. Jim Larranaga's boys were loaded. And I'll say it again. When you have outstanding guard play, you've got a chance. And right now, the Canes taking care of business. Again, I know they've all been at home, but that's what you're supposed to do when you've got a good club. So I just hope, as I told Coach last week, Miami deserves a year of staying relatively healthy, right, and injury-free. I know they've had a couple of bumps in the road already, but, man, nobody's had it worse than Miami the last couple of years. So it's good to see good things happening to Jim Larranaga's crew.
All right, best of the weekend's next stop is Atlanta. You ready?
I am.
It's back.
Right over my shoulder.
You know what's back? There it is. Yesterday, Georgia Tech announced it was coming back. Yeah, they've had some COVID flare-ups within the team. Josh Pastner looking to keep it safe. It's got the face shield back. Not as optimistic and positive a face shield as we were hoping for last night. Tough loss for the Jackets against Louisville. But how about this? They promoted it. The iconic face shield. Back.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, all you got to do is look up in the rafters if you don't believe it's true, because you'll see an ACC championship banner up there. Face shield, the boys took care of business last year, winning it all. And as I said, I did a little house cleaning over the holiday weekend and decided to put the Josh Pastner face shield, signed, by the way, which you can see literally right over my shoulder if you're watching us on television. So it's time to kind of make a little transition into hoops, and that's kind of what we're doing.
There you go. And, of course, we had great face shield moments a year ago, but none better than the destruction and demolition of the face shield at Clemson.
When that started the run. Right. Remember, Wes? I mean, they lose that game, really. No business losing the game, but they did. And then from that point on, the Jackets went on a run, man. Went crazy.
Sure did. Yep. So the face shield is back. We'll look forward to tomorrow night at Cameron Indoor Stadium against the Duke Blue Devils. Tell you who else is back. Florida State's bench is back. The Noles, arguably the deepest team in the ACC when everybody's healthy, proved it again the other day. Outscored NC State 35-9 off the bench and won the game 83-81.
That's what Florida State does, Wes, as you well know. Leonard, that's his style. Yep. He recruits great players. And they all get time. They're going to play. And, again, this is a young group, and that's why I think we've seen Florida State kind of get off to a little bit of a sluggish start based on past years. But make no mistake, when they figure it out, they are going to be a tough out. You just know it.
Yep. Malik Osborne will be with us at 9:30 this morning from Tallahassee. Looking forward to visiting with him. Of course, he had to tangle with Darion Sebron, who – went off against Florida State, and quite frankly, the list is becoming long and distinguished. He had 32 points. He was 12 of 14 from the floor. NC State fell 83-81, but Sebron becomes the first player since T.J. Warren in 2013 to get 30 or more on 85% shooting. He had better than 80% from the floor, 30-point conference game, by the way. Clarity on that stat for T.J. Warren and now Darion Sebron in the two-point loss to Florida State. So congratulations to Sebron. You know, North Carolina and Boston.
Wes, go ahead. Before you read the next one, you know, when you watch him play, and I've talked about how he's like the plastic man when he goes zipping through the lane. But you know what? He can also beat you on almost every spot on the floor. That's why it's worth getting your ticket to go watch him play, because, I mean, he can light you up from the outside. But I just love it when he drives to the basket. And it just seems like nobody ever has a body on him. He's a fascinating guy to watch play. And you mentioned the list is long, and it's only going to get longer, because I'm not sure anybody has figured out a way to defend him yet in the league.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. North Carolina shot 52.5%, 48% from three. Took care of Boston College by 26 points. Again, without seeing Hubert Davis say this, I'm going to hesitate and say that potentially Carolina's best 40-minute effort of the year in the road win at BC. Earl Grant's done a nice job, but yesterday Carolina made it look easy.
I don't know if I'm going to go there. I think their effort against Michigan was their best effort because they pounded them on both sides. And I think Michigan's a better team, quite frankly. But doing it on the road is important. Like I said, you start going through the list. I know we've only played a handful of games, but go figure out who's been able to steal stuff on the road. I think that is going to be so critical this particular year in the ACC. We're non-conference play. You don't have a whole lot on the resume. So, brother, you better make you better make do in league play. And you steal one on the road, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Sam Hartman, 3 touchdowns against Rutgers in the win at the Taxslayer Gator Bowl, took his season total 50.
Rutgers, by the way, as a member of the Big Ten, is now 0-28 versus ranked teams. 0-28. Just saying. But Wake did what they were supposed to do. Better team.
Yep.
You know, I know, and again, I give Rutgers a lot of credit for showing up. I mean, they're 5-7, got a great opportunity when A&M couldn't go. They took advantage of it. And really, I thought Rutgers put up a really great fight in the first half of the game. But to Wake, too good, too talented. And as I mentioned, 11-win season for Dave Clawson. Really, just a phenomenal year for the Deacs.
No question. Sam Hartman, a real threat next year, Pack.
Well, we've talked about the league. You know, listen, the 21 season, which is now rearview mirror, the quarterback playing this league was by far the best of anybody in the country. Now you look forward to 22, and you start realizing who's coming back. I'm telling you, there's a handful of teams in this league that are going, we've got the guy under center who can make stuff happen. And I think Wake Forest is one of those teams that's going to look at 22 and go, hey, there's no reason in the world why we can't go and win double figures again.
Yeah. Emily Inksler is on this list. She'll join us coming up about 9:15 this morning from Louisville. Game winner yesterday in Atlanta. Look at this little high post, and all of a sudden just roll to the basket.
Terrific game, man.
Off the window.
Yeah, really good game. And I know Georgia Tech, as you pointed out, only had 7 players available, and Nell's done a tremendous job. But you're going to get used to seeing. If you love women's basketball, this league is going to give you so many of these kind of games for the next couple months because you can't have 6 or 7 top 20 teams, and they're all going to be playing each other. There are going to be some great battles this year. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So congratulations to Emily Inksler. Look forward to visiting with Syracuse transfer, now playing for Jeff Walls at Louisville. Elizabeth Balogun, 27 points, 11 of 16 from the floor yesterday. Duke a win over Notre Dame. Great game, too.
Yeah, ditto. Man, what I just said about the Louisville-Georgia Tech game, it falls in the same category as this one. And I think that, you know, listen, I think if Duke and Notre Dame played 10 times, 8 of them would be just like this. Who's got the ball last? Who can make a play? I thought when Duke played South Carolina at the time, again, the Gamecocks were number 1 in the country, I thought the second half effort by Duke against the Gamecocks told you of the quality. They did not play well in the first half against number 1, but they did in the second half. And for Carol Lawson, you know what? This is going to be a great run, man. I'm just telling you. This league is so exciting on the women's side because you simply have 2 great teams in Louisville and NC State, and then you've got 5 or 6 that literally any given night, they can take you down. And I don't care who you are.
Shout out to Kenny Brooks and Virginia Tech. They go to 3-0 in the ACC for the first time in program history. They do it beating Wake yesterday, 66-53. An 18-rebound day for Liz Kittley, who also was outstanding inside from a scoring perspective as well. But tell you what, I enjoyed watching the Hokies yesterday with Shepherd and Amore and Kittley. They've got a real nice trio of players that are going to cause some problems in this league.
Yeah, the fact that they were not ranked last week was almost a criminal, but they will be this week. And I'm buying, again, much like the men's team, I'm buying the women's team too. And I know that Coach Young's gotten off to a slow start in league play. I think a lot of that's got as much to do with scheduling as anything else. But I think the basketball in Blacksburg moving forward this particular year is going to be really, really good.
Yep. Carolina's our next stop on the women's card. Deja Kelly, 31 yesterday, the 5 threes. They win comfortably over Clemson, 81-62 at Carmichael. You knock down 5 threes, yeah, probably going to be on the way to winning is the way I look at it. Heck of a performance.
North Carolina, NC State this week. Undefeated Tar Heels, top 5 Wolfpack. It doesn't matter if it's checkers. It doesn't matter if it's cornhole. But you let it be on the hardwood, boys and girls. I got news for you. It will be a big deal. And the Heels have gotten off to a blistering great start.
That's right. So that's the best of the weekend. Let's get to the worst of the weekend here, Pac, before we get to the segment. Let's start in Jacksonville again. Wakes Ryan Smenda ejected for targeting against Rutgers. I got to tell you, it's a brutal call. This is a brutal call. I get why it is, but it's a brutal call.
Well, he almost touched him. I mean, college football, I've said this for 3 years now. When we get to the off season, which will be 8 days from now, the very first thing the college football rules official should do is let's re-examine targeting. I mean, it is, I understand the intent, but man alive, it has reached the point of absurdity in college football. The inconsistency of which it's called, the intent for why it's called. But that play right there is another perfect example of what are we doing? Seriously, what are we doing? Pathetic.
And to the point, because it happened in the second half, Smenda will be ineligible for the first half of their opening game.
Now, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, everything about the rule I don't like. Don't like anything about the rule.
Yeah. Syracuse lost at home on Saturday night to Virginia. It's their third straight loss in the series to the Cavaliers. And Virginia played great. Armon Franklin, Kihei Clark, Caden Shedrick all had productive nights for Tony Bennett.
Told you, but, very surprised.
Tough for Syracuse here.
This is one of those games. Virginia comes in there. They can't score. Syracuse starting to feel pretty good about it. I mean, we talked to Buddy last week. He's like, hey, I think we're starting to find it. And that game, like I said last hour, really, really surprised me. I did not expect that at all.
Yeah. Georgia Tech had 14 turnovers in the first half against Louisville. You know, hey, can't have that many. Bottom line. And Haley Van Lith and the Cards stayed within reach during those 14 first half turnovers.
Yeah, Chester loves watching 10 play, man. Hey, she's something else. Haley Van Lith. Don't mess around with the lefty now. Wes, you don't mess with the lefty.
Got a good team.
Yes, they do.
They got a good team, my man.
Yep.
Boston College was outscored 49-20 in the first half yesterday against Carolina. This one was weird to watch, Pac. The guys in the gold, by the way, I like the gold jerseys, they never got on track yesterday. And again, I know coming off the pause, the whole bit, but Carolina had been sitting around for a week too. And so, I'm not going to lay blame anywhere, but man, BC looked lifeless in the first 15, 18 minutes of that ball game.
Well, you mentioned North Carolina missed their first 7 shots and then went to halftime up 29 on the road.
Right.
The only thing uglier than that's watching Carolina Panther football. That's the only thing I can tell you. It was hard to watch.
It's unbelievable.
It's hard to watch. I'm being honest with you. When you're getting beat by 29 at home, you can't throw in the ocean. That was ugly. But it's one game.
Yeah.
Knock the rust off of it. Hopefully you get better moving forward.
There you go. Busy week ahead for everybody in the ACC. When we come back, kind of a football checkup, if you will. Wake, we know, finished the drill on Friday. NC State's back at home now. They've got some guys that are moving on to the next level. Dabo Swinney and Clemson get the job done. Miami never played in the postseason, but did they show you enough? Who are you putting faith in? Come 22. We'll get to it next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. First show of the new year. Hope everybody did okay over the weekend. Didn't overdo it. Mm-hmm. It's amateur hour there on New Year's Eve, you know, Wes. It's amateur hour.
Can be. If you're not careful.
You got to be careful. All right. Let's look forward, though. Let's look forward to 22 football, right? We talked about the Deeks a bunch, right? The Deeks got everybody and their brother back. 11-win season. Kloss and the boys are feeling good up here in Switzerland. So, you know that there's huge expectations for the folks in Winston-Salem. But how about some other teams in the league that you're at least feeling good about on the surface on January 3rd?
Well, I was asked a question, and I'll pose the one I was asked over the weekend to you. If you had to pick today to win each division, who would you pick? Right?
All right.
You want and my answer? Immediate reaction, yeah, sure. Give me what you think.
I will go Clemson in the Atlantic. I'm going to go Miami in the Coastal.
Okay. So, and here's the way it was put to me. Clemson showed you enough in the bowl game to get pretty excited about where they are defensively. But you still got this outlier there with the quarterback spot. Fair?
Yeah, but I will tell you this. I think at the end of the year, I think Clemson was playing better than anybody in the league. How about that?
Okay.
Pitt
sure.
included.
I mean, I would counter with, I want to see the rosters. I'm going to go Clemson, but I'm going to hold just a couple of edges on the Clemson pick here. For a spot with Wake and for a spot with potentially NC State. Because I think NC State's bringing back a lot, a whole lot. But I want to see what it looks like on paper before I commit fully to the Wolfpack here. Wake's going to lose some people in the offensive line. They're going to lose some pieces on defense. But this crowd right here now, Bam Knight's going to go to the NFL. Got it. But Thayer Thomas is back. Devin Leary's back. I know they lost Ekwonu in the offensive line, but Grant Gibson, I think, is coming back. Defensively, they're bringing back all the tacklers. I mean, it just seems like there's a lot more on the table in Raleigh right now than people realize. And as you said, and I believe you're exactly right on this, the biggest loss for NC State not playing the Holiday Bowl is the people nationally didn't get to see just how talented they were this year. Because I think a lot of that talent carries over to 22. So I'm going to give you Clemson, yes. But I'm going to hold edges for both NC State and possibly Wake Forest.
Now, wait, in the Coastal, whoa. Time out before you go zipping over to the other side. Couple things. Number one, NC State's at Clemson next year, right? In the Valley.
That's correct, sure.
That's a problem. That's been a problem.
Okay.
Number two.
Totally agree.
Number two, I don't think anybody who's been watching any ACC football, if you don't put Boston College in the conversation in the Atlantic, I think you're making a mistake. I think the fact that Jurkovic is back, Zay Flowers is back, Jeff Hafley's recruiting extremely well. He's a defensive-minded coach. We don't know what the schedules look like of when you play. But anybody that's got to go to Boston, right. You know, late October, November, that'll be a nice chilly road trip. I think Boston College, Wake Forest, NC State, Clemson, I think that Atlantic Division race will be a blast. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I know Malik Cunningham's going to be running around like crazy, and Louisville's still got some issues to go through. But I'm buying what you're saying about NC State. I think they're going to be a preseason top 15, top 20 team, worst-case scenario. Mm-hmm. Wake Forest probably still won't get the benefit of the doubt from the national media because everybody's sound asleep and nobody pays attention to the Swiss. That's why they're the Swiss, but we know how good they're going to be. Clemson, again, I think that quarterback competition is going to be real, and they lost. People don't have any idea what they went through injury-wise, and they still won 10 games. They're going to get rebooted and healthy, and they're going to be a joke how good they're going to be. I think the Atlantic race is going to be a blast. I do. I think, you know, normally we get into Coastal, how crazy it is. I think the top half of the Atlantic next year with Boston College, Wake Forest, NC State, Clemson will be thoroughly, thoroughly entertaining.
All right, so you want to throw Boston College into the fray with Wake and NC State? Kind of right there a half step behind Clemson.
Okay. I think with Jurkovic back and Zay Flowers back, you know their line's going to be good, and they will play better defense because that's what Jeff Hafley does. I think for folks that will just sleep on Boston College, I think you're making a terrible mistake in 22.
Okay. In the Coastal, the romance with the University of Miami will be back on again. And the reason being is Tyler Van Dyke. You don't come in and account for 25 scores and nearly 3,000 yards in, what, 8 starts? And not end up being the darling of a program. And so I think what you're getting here is you're going to get a guy with a new coach, new offensive system, certainly a defensive-minded football coach too, and an attitude and an environment that may breed success. Now, we're going to see how all this fits for Cristobal in his first year, but a lot of favorites are going to be listed in Miami. I mean, a lot of people are going to sign up for Miami. What does it mean behind them? I have no idea. And here's why. Because we don't know how certain teams are going to – I mean, Pittsburgh brings back the entire offensive line, but here's Keaton Slovis. And they have the National Player of the Year at wide receiver in Jordan Addison, right? So one would think that once those guys kind of develop some sort of chemistry and confidence that they're going to be okay. Carolina – nowhere near the preseason ballyhoo from a season ago.
No.
Okay. Virginia Tech. I'm as interested in Virginia Tech and Virginia and Georgia Tech, for that matter, as I am anybody else who's gone through a coaching change. And I know Georgia Tech didn't change the head coach, but there's a report this morning they're hiring Chris Winkie to become the quarterback's coach in Atlanta. Georgia Tech is changing their entire infrastructure under Jeff Collins without changing the head coach. It seems like. So we'll see where this goes. But right now, I don't have any feel for anybody behind Miami and maybe potentially Pittsburgh, Pac.
It feels like, again, I'm going to just give you one of these stupid hot takes, which I can't stand. But nevertheless, I'm going to give you one. It feels like we've had a changing in the guard in the Atlantic and the Coastal based on what we've seen in years past, where in the past in the Atlantic it was Clemson and whoever else wants to be playing for second. And then the Coastal was the crazy, hey, it could be 4 or 5 teams that could win it. It seems, again, on the surface, before we've seen anybody play, any freshman show up, all that stuff, that the Atlantic, which I just rattled off, you know, Boston College, Wake, NC State, Clemson, I didn't even mention a team like Florida State, who played extremely well in the second half, and Mike Norvell, I think, has got them headed in the right direction. Now, have they arrived yet to play on that level? To be determined. But I think they're going to be better than they were a year ago. You just mentioned it seems like it's Miami, and then who wants to jump on board? And I know Pitt fans are watching right now going, did you guys forget that we won the league? No, we did not. I do think Pittsburgh is going to be in the conversation as well. But other than Miami and Pitt, Wes, today, this second, I mean, if you're a North Carolina fan at 6-7, and no Sam Howell, you got to be sitting there going, man, we got work to do, even though I love what Mac Brown's done in recruiting. But now can they develop and get that thing turned back around? I don't know. Virginia, you know, Tony Elliott, new coach, a lot of opt-outs, but Brennan Armstrong makes stuff happen. Virginia Tech, I think there's a lot of work to be done in Blacksburg. And I think if you watch that bowl game, you know what I'm talking about. Duke, got a new sheriff in town. Georgia Tech, I think there's a lot of pressure on Coach Collins to start showing signs of life in terms of W's. I mentioned we do know they open up with Clemson in the Mercedes-Benz Dome. So, in stadium. So, you know, on the surface, I think there's 6 or 7 teams in the league that I think if you're a fan of one of those teams getting out of bed starting 22, yeah, I think you're kind of excited going, hey, you know what? Potentially we could really, really be good. And I think there's still a lot of work to be done on some other teams here in the league.
All right. Well, it's going to be interesting because there are a handful of teams in that Atlantic division behind Clemson that we've identified. And this is, I mean, here's the here it is, January the 3rd, and I'm telling you, this is going to go all the way to September 3rd or whenever we start the season, because that's just the way the calendar works here. I mean, a lot of stuff in the spring. There'll be a lot of examination and you know, and analysis on what transpires in certain races and position groups and what coaches say and things like that. It's going to be a fascinating, fascinating time for ACC football. When we come back, by the way, lest us not miss an opportunity to pump up a segment we run during the year. See, we hid this one on you. Oh, we're going to give you a chance to vote, too. It's separate from all the other stuff, though. A special, if you will, postseason, bowl season edition of Wide Receiver U is next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, 844-SAY-ACCN. That is the number for the program. Bowl season is officially over for the ACC. 2 wins, 4 losses, 4 no contests. And the good news is it was at least better than the Pac-12, who went back-to-back years without winning a bowl game. Let that marinate a second.
Oh, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Are we, am I once again required to submit the 4 finalists on this?
Yes, it's Wide Receiver U. I mean, why would that change? Did you think there was a reason that should change?
Huh? Well, postseason, you never know. Rules change sometimes in the postseason. People opt out.
No. Right. Rules don't change. Rules stay the same.
All right.
Rules stay the same.
All right. Here we go. We have 1, 3, 6, 9, 10. Actually, we may have 11. We'll let you know. We have 10 for sure. Packer efforting for an 11th to be thrown on the fire here late.
Let me just say this before you start. If we
Wait, hold on. We got to check with Packer and Durham compliance first.
Wait a minute. If we don't show the 11th, I'm fine with it, but I'm going to mention it. All right. I'm just going to say that. So with that said, drum roll, please. Let it rip.
All right. Here we go. Number one, tee it up. We have 1 of 10, potentially 11 nominees for bowl edition of Wide Receiver U. You know how it works, right, kids? We narrow it down to 4. We'll put it on Twitter at ACC Network. You pick the winner. Now, this in no way impacts Dontavian Wicks's regular season crown as the king of Wide Receiver U. Just so as you know. All right, number one nominee, A.T. Perry. First quarter of the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. Heard Stan Cotton's radio call. Did he get in? He's in. How in the world did they mark him out at the 1? He hit the pylon.
And he missed it.
Touchdown.
Might have missed that call.
Trying to mark him out at the 1. All right.
You know what, Wes?
Pretty good one.
Wes, you know what? That right there, that call right there is the reason why 1 week from tonight, when the national championship game is played in Indianapolis, the officials for that game will be from the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Yes, they will. That's exactly right. Dwayne Haight.
ACC
the
refs
Coast Conference have.
In the national championship game. Let's give them a shout out.
Yep.
Best of the best.
Get ready. Bo Collins is next on this list. Juggling catch. I'm not sure it's a juggling catch as much as it was DJ throwing it up for grabs. And Collins making a heck of a play.
Yeah, probably should have thrown this one.
Me.
First down.
I'm half cocked to put this on there, by the way. It's a great catch.
Yeah.
It's a great catch. Brandon Hill's interception in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, kids, is next. Nominee number 3 on this list.
Doink.
I mean, I know Michigan State won the game. This cat threw him the ball.
Yeah. I still, man, I can't believe Pitt. 21-10. You got to figure it. Close the deal in the fourth quarter, Pat. Doggone it.
Stop.
Hated it.
Come on. Yeah. All right. Next. Surf Pro First Responders game. Tyler Harrell running out the back door against the Air Force.
And the flip.
Over the roll.
And the flip.
Yep. Word has been Tyler can run. I'd say so. Flipped right over and off into the Metroplex. Okay. Tyler Harrell nomination. Jared Wayne of Pitt. Touchdown against Michigan State. Pretty good in traffic.
Yeah, we reviewed that for 10 minutes. Pat Narduzzi's over here looking around going, what are you doing? It's a touchdown. Let's go.
What are you doing to me? It's a touchdown. Yeah. Good throw by Davis Bevel.
Got my third string quarterback out there throwing dimes, man. Let's go. He don't need no stinking review. It's a touchdown. That's 7 for Pitt. Hail to Pitt. Let's kick this thing off.
All right. Not many highlights in the Duke's Mayo Bowl for North Carolina. Oof. Antoine Green on the sideline be one, though.
A nice catch.
Pretty good here.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Pretty strong there, man.
Yeah, it was. Okay. Atta boy, Antoine. All right, next, off to Yankee Stadium. Pinstripe game. Again, not a lot to cheer about for the Hokies.
No.
Jaden Paiute, though, not bad. Over the shoulder? What do you think, Pac?
Well, the way that day went, man, hey, anytime we throw a bone for the Hokies on that day, you do it. Because that was a tough tough afternoon of football in New York City.
Paiute got roughed up by his teammates. Had to take a knee. All right. Back to Charlotte, Josh Downs of North Carolina. This guy made the list so many times. Now, see, here's the issue. Downs has been on this list doing the spectacular that the norm seems, right?
Well, that's a little Willie Mays right there now. I got no problem with that catch being on there. That's a tough catch. And let me tell you the other thing, Wes. The way the Heels played that day, I'm glad he caught it. Be honest on that.
Okay. I hear you. All right. Okay. Next, Zion Keith. I remember this. This is pretty good now. That's pretty good. Now, watch. You got to see the replay here, kids. Because Travion Red had a shot at it. Kick save. Keith the pick. I think that's pretty strong, Pac.
By the way, I like the Wakes all white with the gold helmets.
Sure you do.
I like it.
Sure you do.
It's clean.
How are we doing on number 11, by the way, Lumberjacks? We got a chance at 11?
No.
Okay, we don't.
No.
11 will not make it.
Should I tell
you? So here's the last nominee.
All right, you got one more. Okay, go ahead.
Not yet. Not yet. this is on the list, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
This is on the list. This is on the list. It was on the list the minute it happened, by the way. Nice job, Chubba, Bubba, whoever, one of the Purdies. Touchdown.
By the way, is your man Dave Archer, is he still sore about this one? Just asking. Has he gotten over?
Well,
how's Archer?
I don't
doing?
Know. We didn't have a chance to visit. We didn't have a chance to visit very much since I got released from the COVID radio list.
I figure you might have talked to him, though. Is he okay with his Iowa State Cyclones going down?
I'm going to guess he's fine, but probably not at the point of attack, as they say, that night.
Well, Goodrich had a pretty good night, didn't he? He got the MVP belt.
I'd say.
Lifetime supply of Cheez-Its.
Do you want to call people's attention to
an interception? Yeah, this was a really nice list put together here for the Bulls, but I will tell you, and Wes, you know, you and I are in the same boat. Well, neither one of us are recruiting guys. However,
right,
and this technically, I guess, doesn't count because I guess he's not a member of an ACC school yet.
Not enrolled yet, Pac.
All right,
he's not
so enrolled. That's what it is.
He's not enrolled.
But yesterday,
that's a compliance issue
in the
Tom Packer and Durham compliance issue,
right? Yesterday in the Tom Luganville High School All-Star Game, which was on, and by the way, happy birthday, Tom Luganville, there was an interception made yesterday. If you didn't see this, we're not going to show it to you, but Jaden Lucas is the kid's name. He's a defensive back that signed with Clemson. He made an interception right. yesterday that, I got to be honest with you, was better than all 10 of those that I just watched, in my opinion. It was so ridiculous that I watched it two or three times on highlights because I didn't watch the game live. But when I saw the highlight, I went back and watched it two or three times and went, oh, my God. The dude could have caught it with his kneecaps. Man, it was ridiculous what this kid did. So I'm just throwing it out there. Technically, he's not eligible because he has not enrolled yet. But had we played right. it and had he been that, it would have won going away, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So that's all I got to say about that.
Okay.
You got four?
I do.
All right, let me see. What you got?
You ready?
Yep.
Mario Goodrich is on this list.
Right, agreed.
I said it when it happened, and it's Mario Goodrich is on this list. Zion Keith is on this list, okay. by the way.
All right.
From Wake Forest. I like the deflection piece.
Right.
Bo Collins is on this list from Clemson. Okay. Anybody that can catch a ball that's being thrown away.
Between two defenders.
I mean, yeah, between two defenders. And then here, I'm torn. A.T. Perry or Antoine Green?
Oh, Antoine Green.
Okay.
Antoine Green from North Carolina, right. that catch? That was a ridiculously yeah. great catch. And plus, A.T. Perry, right. I got to be honest with you, A.T. Perry's caught so many this year, that one almost looked like yeah. kind of like what you felt with Josh Downs. They've made such kinda unbelievable like catches. Yeah. It was almost like, well, yeah, I mean, of course he caught that one.
There you go. So yeah. there are your four finalists, Mario Goodrich, Zion Keith, Bo Collins, and Antoine Green of
like
North
it.
Carolina.
I like
you
it.
Can go to ACC Network later today. You vote for your favorite. We give you the winner of the Wide Receiver U Bowl Edition. There you go. When we come back, dealing with postponements, this is starting to gonna build. We can't afford any more. Let's put it that way. How about that? We need everybody healthy, wealthy, and strong for the remainder of basketball. We will go down a list here, and it's going to be interesting to see how we get this done. But it is possible. We'll talk about it next. Packer and Durham continues on a Monday on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, don't forget the Nothing But Net program set to fire back up Saturday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern, after our men's basketball doubleheader. They'll break down the night in the ACC, highlights and analysis of every men's game, look ahead to the best games on the schedule and in the coming weeks. Kelsey Riggs, Luke Hancock, Carlos Boozer, Joel Berry, all right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. So there you go.
I was just thinking a second ago when I saw that lineup. I was thinking about Jordan yeah. Cornette, Mr. Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Has Cornette been alive the last time Notre Dame won a major bowl game? I'm just curious. I don't know when Jordan was born. Is he alive
wow.
yet? What do you mean, wow? Don't wow me. I'm just being honest with
hang
you.
Hang on a second.
The last time Notre Dame football won a major bowl game was January 1st, 1994 in the Cotton Bowl. Was Jordan Cornette, has he been alive to see Notre Dame win a major bowl game? And yeah. don't ask me why. Again, I saw that lineup, the picture of the guys. I was like, where's old Jordan Cornette talking hoops? Do you know?
Jordan was born in 1983.
Oh, okay. I thought Jordan was a young guy, man. He's old as dirt. 83.
Oh.
He's up here with us, sort of, kind of. All right, so he has been alive. He has been alive to see Notre Dame win a major yeah. bowl game. Well, good for him. Good.
Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. He was not in that picture, though. It was Boozer and Hancock.
No,
and
I just saw. I know, but I just saw our ACC basketball lineup there, and I was thinking, well, where's Jordan Cornette, man? He's going to talk some hoops with us. Love when Cornette's on there talking hoops.
Did you see the, by the way, sidebar here before we get to these cancellations, did you see the play run? Mac snapped it to E.J. Manuel on the floor of Mercedes-Benz Stadium and a throw in the end zone to Cornette. Yeah. Did you
yeah.
see that?
Yeah.
Tell you what now, EJ, first of all, Mark Rick owes EJ $500 for hitting the Panther mouth.
Yeah.
From the set up there on the mezzanine level at the Mercedes-Benz. And then EJ threw a dime to Cornette. Emmanuel's been.
EJ got skill, man. You're not a first-round pick.
EJ's been working out. EJ's been keeping it fresh.
You never lose it when you're a first-round pick. I'm just saying. It never goes away.
That's true.
You know, and while those boys are having a good time, those guys are having a good time in the stadium, Wes, I missed you, but we got right there.
Oh.
College Football Hall of Fame right there. They sent the Coca-Cola bottle.
I know. They're the best. Those people are the best.
Shout out to Kimberly. She's my new bud down there at College Football Hall of Fame.
She's awesome. She's great. All right. We've had some cancellations in the ACC. Everybody's kind of been impacted here, both non-conference and conference-wise. I said going to break, if we can get back to normal here, it'll help. Pack, I looked at the schedule this weekend two or three different times. I got to be honest with you, three or four more of these, and it's going to be hard to get everybody to 20. I think there are going to be windows to kind of get some of this back, but you can't afford any more.
Well, I just think that we're tiptoeing through the tulips here a little bit. This is going to be much like last year. To navigate through this will be difficult. I do think we'll get to the finish line like we did a year ago.
Right.
But to think that everybody's going to play 20, Wes, I think is kind of a pipe dream, to be honest with you. I mean, your schedule opportunities just get tight. I mean, once you get through November, December, and all of a sudden this bad boy hit, it's kind of the perfect storm. I suspect that we'll probably lose a couple more games. I hope I'm wrong. But I think that's probably being realistic. And trying to figure out a way to reschedule these, maybe we can get a couple more back. But to think that we're going to get all of them back, I think is wishful thinking.
Well, and some of the schools that are off to really good starts in the league may have to make up conference games and, you know, may just try and plug in a non-conference game. For instance, let's start with Miami. Of course, they've been the surprise at least so far in conference play. Jim Larranaga's team has a cancellation. They won the regular season in the tournament in 2012-2013. They're 3-0. But their cancellation is a non-conference game. It's not a conference game. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see how this fits for Miami. They're 0-1 after missing a game. That's their record. They lost to Notre Dame, 71-61. You know, we'll see how it goes. You start looking, though, at other cancellations here. How each team performed the first game coming back a year ago. Georgia Tech lost 5 games. They were 3-0 after a missed game. They beat Carolina. They beat Clemson, won at Miami. They scored 81 points. How much does last year factor into this year? I'm not sure a lot of it does, because we're talking, in, as you mentioned time and again, we're dealing in so many different rosters now than we were before.
Now, last year's last year as far as teams go, Wes. I put zero stock into that. But I think the good news is, though, I think that if you're a coach, a staff, for the most part, everybody's still here. There's an exception here or there. But, you know, you've kind of been through the COVID cancellation postponement thing before if you're a staff. And there's a lot of guys that are still back from a year ago, but teams are different. But, you know, I look at this year and a team like Duke lost a week's games. They lost at Clemson and at Notre Dame. You know, who you play is going to be a big deal. Now, maybe Duke's the exception to the rule because they're that good. You know, they're a team that certainly could win the national championship while we're still waiting for somebody else to emerge in the top 25. But Duke losing 2 road games, are those going to be rescheduled? I have no earthly idea. But they caught a break from that perspective. Not that Duke needs one, given as good as they are, but you're going to see them coming up against Georgia Tech. But, you know, we're going to just have to do the best we can. I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to it. I think fans, after going through it last year, will understand it as well, knowing that, hey, listen, it's just the luck of the draw. If you happen to get 17 games in or somebody gets all 20 in, great. But I think by the end of the year, by the time we come rolling into the ACC tournament, we'll probably look back at the schedule, and it'll be a combination of teams with anywhere from 15 to 20 games would be my guess.
You know, Chris Mack played last night without 2 of his assistants on the bench.
Right.
Seemed to have his full complement of players for the most part. We mentioned Nell Fortner's women's team yesterday at Georgia Tech only played with 7 players. Georgia Tech played without Rodney Howard and Saba Gigi Berea last night, two of their bigs. So they played undersized last night because of health and safety protocols. I think you're going to find that, at least for the time being, that may be part of the way this thing goes, in all honesty.
I don't know why you would think otherwise, because I don't think you're going to be able to snap your fingers and go, hey, by February the 1st, we're all good here. The COVID's going away. Let's go play. It's going to hang around. I got news for you. I'm not a doctor, but we've been down this road before. We're coming up on almost 2 years of living this COVID world, and we're just going to have to deal with it. And again, you still have to be smart. We've said it 100 times. We're still in a pandemic. And to think that we're going to get into, you know, next week or 2 weeks down the road and not have any more cancellations or postponements, I think you're being naive. But I do think that this league, and I think college basketball, will be able to adjust on the fly. If we could get through last year and have a championship and everything else, I think we'll do the same thing this year.
Let me see if we can go back to this graphic we just had a moment ago from a year ago. And we showed you the record coming out of pause, okay? Look at the number of postponements, though. I mean, Miami only had one. That was an amazing number when you think about it from a season ago. But remember how many different kind of – their pause that they had was pretty lengthy, okay? Louisville, 9 games. BC, 8 games. 7 for NC State. 7 for Virginia Tech. Then you dip down. Nobody – it seemingly 5 was like – the biggest number among most schools in the ACC. Let's hope we don't get to those numbers, because if we get to those type numbers as it relates to conference play, we're in real trouble. We're in real trouble. But I think right now, when you've got 7 games that have been postponed, you got a window to put some of these back together, Pac. And if you have any more, then you know what? Maybe you do it on percentages like you did last year.
Well, I think we better be prepared for it, because, like I said, boy, you just see the headlines every single day. Game X, Game Y, Game Z, postponed, canceled, reshuffled. And the other thing, it puts pressure, I think, on the men's side, given from a schedule standpoint of what you did play and did not win in non-conference play. You've got to get games. You've got to get games and win games when it comes to conference play in January and February. And like I said, with the exception of Duke, I think everybody in the conference needs as many as possible.
There you go. All right, when we come back, we'll review the weekend in basketball. Get to your phone calls, 844-SAY-ACCN. You got a resolution for your basketball team. You got a resolution for your school as we start 2022. Packer and Durham. And, oh, by the way, Inksler and Malik Osborne still to come in the 9 o'clock hour on ACCN.
Packer and Durham.